various kinds of courses, computer courses and cooking and sewing and various arts and crafts for people of the community. Some of the people of the community are getting more and more involved in teaching each other and helping each other learn skills that will be useful for employment and one thing and another, having fellowship with each other. From time to time, we also were privileged to go on and have some involvement with some other ministries in various parts of the country. And I really thank God also for Frida, her encouragement. I was inclined to, from time to time, maybe more often than I want to admit, to give in to fear and unbelief, to say, no, I can't do that, whatever I was being asked to do. But by her example, she helped me to believe, and day by day, God gave us the faith and the love that we needed. So I was planning to tell one story, and then last night and this morning decided I'm going to tell two stories. We taught an English class from June to November, and then another one for several months this year. And in that first class, about a year ago, we met Rosie. She enjoyed Frida's worship songs that Frida used in the English class. But after a bit, she couldn't keep coming because she got employment and she wasn't available to come at the time that we're doing the class. One day, Frida looked across to the bus stop and saw Rosie standing there waiting for the bus and went over and gave her a hug. That led to us going out for coffee with her. And eventually she visited us in our apartment, and we visited her church. And even though our ability to understand Spanish is limited, our ability to speak Spanish is even more limited, and Rosie really didn't know very much English, Rosie managed to share with us what was really important to her. She told us about when she was a child and she was sexually abused by a family member, and how more recently the Lord had healed her and brought her freedom. And after that, Frida felt that she should write out in Spanish her life story, which has some similarities, and give it to Rosie. After Rosie read that, she sent Frida a text message on the phone late one evening and asked a few days ahead, would you be able to share that in our church on Sunday morning? And of course, Frida wanted to know, would there be a translator? Because when we had visited that church, we hadn't come across anybody that spoke English. And they didn't know for sure whether they could find a translator. And I was amazed that Frida sat down and wrote out her life story, translating it word by word into Spanish, and practicing it over and over again to be willing to give her testimony in Spanish if it was necessary. And so we got to church that morning, took two buses, and got to church early and sat there. And they have a lot more songs when they're worshiping and dancing. And then it was time the pastor called Frida up. As Frida stood up and started to walk to the front, her translator got up and walked to the front with her. And we had not been introduced to anybody that spoke English, and you know, but that's what obviously the other woman was going up there for, was to translate for her. And so Frida's notes were all in Spanish, but she read the first two or three sentences in Spanish and then just started telling it in English, sentence at a time, and the translator would repeat it in Spanish a sentence at a time. And they did really well. And even though I knew the story, it was a real blessing to me. It had a great impact on me, and I know it did to others as well. At one point, the translator had to say, I'm going to take a break here for a moment, and she was ready to continue on. And after the service, the translator told us she'd never translated for anybody before. It was her first time. So God provided. Jesus gives us the faith for each step of obedience and produces the fruit that he desires. My second story is about Oscar, and the reason I decided to tell this today is because I was Facebook chatting with Oscar last night. Kind of cool it with the internet now. That's my primary reason for being on Facebook, is that I get to keep touch with people down there. And so kind of got this idea in my head. I haven't heard from Kai for a while. Let's see how Kai is doing. But Kai wasn't available for a Facebook chat, and Oscar was. Excuse me. So I asked Oscar how he was doing. He said he was thanking God in the good and the bad. And said something about current situation. So I asked him to tell me more. And he's spent the last couple of nights, now probably three nights, at the center instead of at the home that he shares with his brother and his parents, because his brother had threatened to kill him. And Oscar does occasionally look after the center when the woman who lives there goes away for a weekend. So he was at the center by himself there last night, but, well, not just him and the dog. God was with him. And God gave me the privilege of praying with him and for him and sharing some scriptures with him. I can communicate with Oscar a lot better typing and using a translator than I can in person. I can hardly understand anything he says in person as his Spanish goes so fast. Sometimes I realize, oh, he's trying to speak English, so let's listen for English words. But, his brother came to the English class that started end of January for a few classes, and he seemed to be a really troubled man, and William spent some time one day that I know of, probably other times, that counseling with them and praying with them. And their parents are alcoholics, and they need our prayers. Anyway, I wanted to read some verses from John 15, from one of the newer versions. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you stay joined to me and I to you, you will produce plenty of fruit, but separated from me, you won't be able to do anything. I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Now continue in my love. I have obeyed my Father's commands, and he continues to love me. In the same way, if you obey my commands, I will continue to love you. I have told you these things so that you can have the true happiness that I have. I want you to be completely happy. This is what I command you. Love each other as I have loved you. The greatest love people can show is to die for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I tell you to do. I no longer call you servants because servants don't know what their master is doing. But now I call you friends because I've told you everything that my Father has told me. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I gave you this work to do, to go and produce fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. This is my command, love each other. As we depend on God's Spirit in us, he gives us love for him and love for people. As he loved people through us, they were blessed. Over time, we saw positive changes in people who opened up to his love. As the time drew near for us to leave and come back here, everyone kept asking how soon we would return to Costa Rica. We're praying for God's leading about that, and we ask that you would pray that we'll hear him clearly and be obedient to what he says. At this point, we really don't know what the future holds. I guess we never do, but we really don't know now.
Years ago, one of my pastors told me, it's not your abilities that God will use, it's your availability. And I can really say that was true this last year. If we had been doing only what we thought we were able to do, we would have been sitting in our apartment watching TV most of the time. So quite often, you know, we would get asked, can you do this? And it's like, can I do it? Probably not. But yes, I think God wants us to. So when God asks you to do something, he will provide the ability, the strength to be able to do it. And often we were amazed because with our limited Spanish, it's like, how in the world can we do this? And God did it. And we don't have the answers how it happened. We just know that God stepped in and did it. And if you asked us, did you see lots of fruit? We'd probably have to say a lot of times no. But we were called to be faithful and called to do what God was calling us to do. But I do believe that we saw a lot of first fruit. And I think God is continuing to do things. And we will hear about it as time goes on. So I'd like to share three or four stories of the fruit that we did see. And to me, it's amazing. Ken was talking about our English class. And we had the first class after Christmas. The first class, four young men came in. And I was felt quite intimidated at first. And I thought I thought that they were probably gang members and associated with the gang. And just a very hard countenance. And so we just prayed for them. And eventually, one of them stayed. And he was usually the very first one there. And he just was soaking in everything. He hardly said a word. But on Facebook, he'd be asking Ken questions and interacting. And at the end of the 3 months, we had a graduation. And I was sitting next to him at breakfast. And he looked at me and he said, "God has changed my heart, you know." And I just looked at him. You could just see it on him. And we're going to have a slideshow in a bit, and you'll see the before and the after. And it's just amazing to see what God did in his heart.
His name's on the one picture. It looks like K, but I think you usually pronounce it Kai. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And to me, that was just a real encouragement, just to see what God was doing in his heart. And the 1 week we did the song, "Give Me Jesus," and afterwards he came up and he says, "I need that song. Can you please tell me what the song was?" So he went home and he Googled it and listened to it on YouTube. And so I think, just things like that just worked in their hearts. Another example was working with kids, and this happened with the adults as well. Because we were there as a couple, we had students that would comment on how much we loved each other and how amazing it was that we were together after so many years. And a big part of their society is it's very, very common for the men to have several mistresses. For the kids, very few of them know their father or have a relationship. And even the ones that were involved at the center, often it was a single mom with their children. And so the kids, when they got the chalk, would go out and they would draw hearts on the sidewalk. And they would write, "Ken and Frida," "Ken loves Frida." it's something I would expect for them to do, teasing an older child or a young adult, but not when you're in your 60s. So so I just really thought about that, and I thought, no, God, they're seeing something that they don't see every day. And so I really ask you to pray for them. It's a real challenge in the churches when people accept the Lord to change the patterns. But just that it's such a fatherless generation. And I know that's true here as well, but there it seemed to be so open. And then somebody made a comment that now, instead of just the men doing it, the women are getting even and being just as promiscuous. So they're having the affairs too. So it's just kind of propelling, just goes from generation to generation. Another thing that we did several times throughout the year was Bible distribution. And we really enjoyed it. We would go with a group from YWAM in two different communities and go door-to-door offering a Bible for free. And it was each home would get a Bible. And then we would ask if there was anything that we could pray for. And often there would be health concerns or employment, addictions. And so we really just saw people opening up and wanting prayer and seeing God work in that way. And about a week or two before we came home, we went to the Costa Rica-Panama border. And it was a very small community, but a lot of problems with alcohol and drugs. A lot of depression, I believe. And as we would go, people would come and see what we were doing, and they would want a Bible, and so we'd say, "Well, go back to your house, and we'll be there in a few minutes." So we'd see them run down, and we'd get to their house, and there they were. And even when we were praying for people would be coming in the back door, and they'd listen, and then they would rush home so that they would get their turn. So that was kind of neat. But the one guy that our group was praying for. He came out and no shirt, and he had tattoos from his face, all his body, just completely covered with satanic tattoos. And, you know, for me, I made that automatic judgment that, you know, this guy isn't going to be interested. He's not going to want a Bible. And so one guy started talking, and within 3-4 minutes, you know, he's telling us how he was a drug dealer and he'd done it all. He was sick and tired of his life. And he's praying. All of a sudden I hear, you know, it's in Spanish, but I'm hearing, you know, "Oh Lord, I'm a sinner, I need you." And only God could do that. And then I just wanted to share one personal thing that towards the end we were visiting Rosie's church and going to church every week and hearing it in Spanish. Quite often we didn't get it all. So I was just feeling really dry that morning. And it's, you know, I could understand some of what was being preached, but not all of it. So I just, you know, said, "God, I just need something from you." And during the middle of the sermon, all of a sudden the song, "Awake, awake, awake my soul. Breathe on me. And when you breathe on me, I come alive. I come alive, I come alive when you breathe on me." So I would just like to challenge, you know, each one of you that no matter what situation you're in, whether you understand the language, whether you're feeling at home or feel that you belong, that God can talk to you in that moment, that he will speak and he will break through. And I just praise him for doing that. So now we've got a slideshow.
While the slideshow is coming on, yeah, we're not musicians, but it's God does use music and good songs, and so he's using people from all over, and I like the songs that go with this. No. So you go ahead.
there? That's what I felt. There's something special going on there, and you're privileged to be a part of it, and we're going to pray that God brings you back when it's his time. And it's a privilege for us when we get to send you, and we feel like we're touching those lives and that we have something tangible and that we're connecting there. So if it's okay, I'd just like to pray for you. Okay, so God, this is a great morning and a great reminder of your mission field and your people, and that there are smiling faces and changed lives all throughout the world. And even today, your word is being proclaimed faithfully in all kinds of different corners of this world, and people are coming to know you and are turning their lives to you and are being filled with your Holy Spirit, and they're repenting and they're believing. And so we are grateful for that today. We're thankful that you're the God who still saves, that there's still power in the blood of Jesus. And today we pray for our dear brother and sister, Ken and Frida, that you'll give them wisdom and discernment, that you'll provide for them to be able to get back, and that they'll continue to be a blessing to the people of Costa Rica and to others that they come in contact with. I pray that your hand will be upon them. I pray that you will just bless them and keep them, that you'll cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them, and that you'll give them your peace. Amen. Thank you for blessing us. Amen. Thank you, God. We are we're on our way to the Lord's table. And that's how we're going to end our service today. And Ken and Frida, if you just, at this point, would you just know this, that I'm going to call you to come forward later, and also for Chris and for Arlene, we're going to you four come up and serve the table today because of mission, because it's what Holy Spirit is all about, what he is all about. The Holy Spirit is about the mission of the church. We are empowered with the Holy Spirit so that we would go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Supper is a reminder for us that his blood has covered all of our sins. Amen? That it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your record is, whether it's a police record or just your personal record. It doesn't matter what your past has been. That the blood of Christ covers all your sins. And it's really good news today to hear this, that you are forgiven as long as you just come to him. That the only thing he requires of us is repentance. He says, just come to me and repent, and you are forgiven. It's simple as that. You can never earn it. You can never pay enough money for it. You can't ever do enough good stuff to make up for the bad. It's about grace, and this is about grace. So today, when I'm finished speaking in a few minutes, we're going to come to the front. You're going to stand in a circle, and those four people are going to pass out the bread and the juice, and we're going to celebrate, because that's what this is. This is a party. We're going to celebrate what Jesus has done, that Jesus died for me, that my sins don't count against me anymore. Hallelujah. Right? Hallelujah. I got sin, but it doesn't count against me, and it's been removed from me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that we should just keep doing this. He said, here's the bread and here's the juice. You do this and just keep doing it until I come. So we're going to be faithful to do that. This may be the last time we need to do it. We don't know. One of these days, Jesus is going to come and he's going to be bringing us back and bringing us home. But until he comes, we're going to be faithful. And the other thing that this means, just so you're, if you're wondering about this, but the other thing that this means is, and this is really important, is that we eat from one loaf. Every one of us. We eat one piece of this, and it is a reminder that we're one. There's unity. And this is a good means for us to become united again. If there's been some division, if there's been some fighting, if there's been some words that have been spoken among us, it's a good time to make up and say, enough of that. We're one. We stand together. We eat we eat from one loaf. We are one body. Amen? All right. And now I'm going to open God's Word, and I just want to share a few things before we get to that celebration. We've been looking at Revelation chapter 12, and last week spent some time on the fact that the dragon got hurled down from heaven, right? That there was a battle in heaven, and the enemy was evicted. We need to know who that enemy is. I believe this is really important, and I believe that a lot of times in the church today and sometimes in our lives, we are not all that familiar with the enemy. We don't know how he functions or how he works. We, in the world, take him with a grain of salt. You know, he's a cartoon character, or he's a figure, or he's someone in a movie that is not very believable, and we undermine his influence. Now, I know that sometimes we can give him more power than what we ought to, and we have greater power. We know that. The Bible tells us that. So I'm not really talking about today that we don't understand his power. I think we just need to understand his identity. That's really what I'm talking about. We need to know who he is and how he operates. We need to know how he wars against us and what his strategies are. Are you following me? You understand that? And I'm going to start just by reading in Corinthians today, where Paul, this is in Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm sorry, 11, I should say, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul was dealing with some of the issues that were happening in the early church. And there was a lot of false teaching. There were other people who were coming on board saying, well, you should follow me, don't follow Paul, I'm a better speaker. They called themselves the super apostles, you know. And they said, don't listen to Paul. And Paul talks about the enemy, and he talks about Satan masquerading as an angel of light. And that's what we want to focus on just for a bit this morning. So read with me. I'm going to start reading in 2 Corinthians 11. And the first part of this won't be on the overhead because I wasn't going to read it until this morning. I thought, you know, this is important. You need to know this. So understand the context here, that the context here is the light. And the context is the church. We're not talking about everyone out in the world. We're talking here about people who know the light and who are in the church and who have been washed in the blood of Christ. And so I'm going to begin reading verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 11, where he says this, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough." In other words, it's no big deal. You just let that happen. And then down to verse 12. "And so I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things that they boast about. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Satan. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, and their end will be what their actions deserve." Satan masquerades as an angel of light. That's an important understanding, because I don't think most of the time we think of him as either of those two things, either being an angel or being light. We just think of him as having horns and being red and having, you know, he's the sinister evil guy in the movie, and it's very clear that he's the bad guy, right? But the Bible says that he is both light and he masquerades as an angel. And Jesus said, actually, in I think it's Luke chapter 10, he said, "Behold, I see Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Like lightning. There's light in Satan. In fact, back to now another passage, and I'm just going to read a couple before I put the Bible down here. It doesn't mean I'm going to not read anymore, but just this whole in Isaiah 14, that Satan masquerades like an angel of light. Just read with me these words, which really refer to the fall of Satan. Let me read this from Isaiah 14, verse 12. And we read there, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star." Satan's called O morning star. "Son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart," he's talking to Satan, right? "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven and I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly and on the outmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Amen, right? Amen. He masquerades like an angel of light. His name is Lucifer, which means light or lightning. And his name also means morning star. And so why is that important? It's important because I believe that we need to understand that Satan understands. He knows the light. He knows what it's like to live in the light. He lived in the light. He was in heaven. He was one of the main angels or an archangel of God before his pride caused him to want to try to overthrow the kingdom of God. Why is that important? Because these words have meaning and are spoken directly for people like us who know about the light. We're trying to walk in the light. We are children of the light. We've been saved out of the darkness. Well, one thing you better understand and you better know is that Satan knows the way of light. He spent his time in heaven, right? He's kind of like a double agent or a counter spy or whatever you want to call that. He knows what went on in heaven. He spent enough time there that he knows the codes, you know. He understands the kingdom of God. He knows the very nature and the essence of God. He knows what light really is. And so he knows how to masquerade as an angel of light. He knows how to portray himself or to show himself as someone who is credible, someone who knows all the things of God, because he used to be there. Do you understand that? And so this warning today, it's not a warning for all those people out there. It's not a warning for all those who are immersed in the darkness and they're stuck in the old ways. No, this is spoken for people like us who are trying to walk in the light, that we understand that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. One of the first things you need to understand is that Satan or his false agents or false apostles never wear name tags. They don't identify themselves as a false prophet. They don't say, "Hey, how are you? I am masquerading right now as an angel of light, and I just want you to know I'm going to try to incite gossip and slander in you, and I would like to see you bring a little disunity to this body. And what I really would like to see is that you, see my name tag here, I just want you to know that I want you to start feeling like you're not important around here, and maybe you'll go and find a different place, and you'll say a lot of bad things about us." He doesn't do that, okay? Satan, you know, they don't wear name tags. The whole point is he masquerades. You got that word, right? He's wearing a mask. He is deceiving us. He is a liar. He doesn't just come out and present himself and say, "Well, here's what I'm here for. I would love to just destroy whatever good work God is doing." He doesn't come out and say that. But that is the intention of his heart, and we better know it. He's a liar. Satan is a deceiver, and he's a liar. And make no mistake about it, he is accomplished at it. He is good at it. He knows how to lie. He knows how to trick. He knows the mask and how to wear it so that you'll believe him. Right? He speaks in half-truths. I mentioned that last week a little bit and talked about Adam and Eve. And great example in Adam and Eve, you know, where he speaks in half-truths. Did God really say that you couldn't eat from any of these trees? What kind of God would do that? Well, God didn't say that. And then later on he goes, "You will not surely die." Come on. You know, what's the matter with you people? He speaks in partial truths, and that's the problem. The problem is there's some part of what he says or how he teaches or how he might want to lead us or influence us, there's some part of that that's true. And as you hear it, and even if it comes to a false apostle or a false teacher, you'll go, "Yeah, you know, that's sounds like mostly good. Sounds pretty good." The problem is that false teachers and false prophets maybe only are 5% wrong or 5% off, but that's what will lead us astray. And let me just make this point, that's okay for a weatherman. If you're a weatherman, you can be 10% off. But if you're a prophet, you better be right on, right? Your fruit better be there every time. You're not a baseball player. You don't get to swing and miss. So if you have a gift of the prophetic, you need the fruit needs to be there. And we need to hold people to that. And I know that's a hard teaching, but it's really true. So it has to do with the lies and the deceit. And there's two things that I want to bring out. There's two things that are almost always true of someone who is a false teacher or a false apostle, and that helps us to identify that individual. And sometimes they're among us. And I hate to say that. And you know, I'll tell you the truth, this whole teaching is a hard teaching. So get brace yourself. You gotta do this, okay? Brace yourself. This is a hard teaching because sometimes those false teachers are among us. There's two things that identify them. You might say, well, there's five, and you're probably right. But I'm just going to give you two that I can sure verify today. The one is that their motive, their attitude, their heart is filled with pride. A false teacher is indubitable. That's a good word. It's indubitable. It's true. That's a word you just learned, right? No, you're not. But they're full of pride, and you can see it. It's not just maybe a little bit of pride. It's their kingdom. They're building their ministry. They're making sure everyone understands how great they are. And they're finding ways to do that and to feed their ego and their pride, which is exactly what comes from this angel of light, the Satan, who masquerades as an angel of light. His downfall was his pride. He wanted to overthrow the kingdom of God. He wanted to overthrow what was God's. And he thought he was able to do that because of his pride. False teachers can always be identified by their pride. And I mean, it will be visible. You'll see it. It should give a check in your heart. You go, wait a minute, there's something about this that I just need to step back from this. That's the Holy Spirit when you get that, okay? The second thing, and this is really important, is that false teachers will always tell us and tell you what you want to hear. It's really true. You'll hear, they'll be full of the stuff that you want to hear. All kinds of spiritual stuff. They'll know how to speak the language. They'll know how to tell you stuff, and they'll tell you, you're going to be so blessed, you're going to be have this great ministry, it'll all be the stuff that you want to hear. And we love, let's be honest, we love to hear the things we want to hear. You know, you're going to do this, you're going to be healed, or you're going to get rich. God is just going to pour all, and he may be doing that, but not through the false teaching, all right? And so here's the warning. Always be careful when you're hearing someone speak over you, or they get a word from God for you, and they're telling you exactly what you want to hear. Be careful of that, because it's a dangerous place to be, and we need to understand that anytime any individual makes a proclamation or makes a promise or has a word for you, there is always a danger of it being false. Always. And that's why you need discernment, and that's why as the body of Christ, we need to keep each other in check, and we need to actually function as a body and encourage each other and listen for each other and sometimes say, hey, whoa, hold on a minute. You're following this guy, and he's telling you all the stuff you want to hear, but be careful here because this may not be coming from God. It may not be. You need to seek God on that, right? Sometimes it's the person or it's the brother who we associate with and we trust the most that can be the most effective in teaching us the false things. And I know that's a hard thing because it really, really demands that we listen to God and not listen to each other or listen to that one charismatic person who's saying all the things, all the right things. But know this. And that is that the angel of light, he masquerades, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. I want to just say this other third thing here, is that he knows our lingo. He does that because he was in heaven. He knows the light. He knows how to talk the language that makes us want more, right? What did Paul say in Timothy? That in the end times, people will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, and they will want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. Well, we're in that world right now. Right? People want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. I want to hear all the good stuff. I want to hear that I'm going to get rich. I'm going to want to hear that I'm going to live this wonderful life. And I want to hear that, you know, all the good stuff. We want to hear that. Well, be careful about that and know that he's an enemy who knows the lingo. And he uses words, terms that, oh, I got to back up. Like, this is a problem. Let me back up a bit. Just because this is a problem for us simply because we believe that God can speak. Like we are ready to hear God if Frank speaks or if Tim speaks. God can speak through those individuals. So when we're open to that, we can set ourselves up for other dangerous individuals who may be false prophets. I grew up in a church, let me just explain that. I grew up in a church where we never had anyone speak. We never expected anyone to say anything except the guy who came from the denomination. You know, he gave us the company goods. But no one ever talked. There was never any danger of a false prophet because no one had the opportunity to be a prophet of any kind, true or false. But if you believe in true prophets, which we do, and we want to be open to that, we want to hear it, and there's a lot of good, please hear this today, there's a lot of good that comes from the faithful prophets. You also got to know that we open ourselves up for the not so good. The not so good. And so he masquerades as an angel of light. He looks like light. He knows the words of the kingdom. He knows the plan that God had from the very beginning. He's a double agent. And he might use some terms and words that attract us. He says, I got a word from God. I got a word from God. Or he might be making promises. This happens a lot. And not that, again, there are people who might have a good word from God, but you need to be discerning when someone says that. Or some people make promises that God never made. That's a false prophet. Someone who's speaking for God, and he's making a promise to you that's not in the Word. Someone says, I have a word. You should say to them, well, you know what? Your word, I got to check next to the word. Thank you for a word, but thank God for his word, right? Thank God for his word. Where did I put my water? It's over here. Man, getting dry here. So, he can make promises. Sometimes a false prophet will make promises for God, which are not based on God's word, and they're not true at all. If you give us 6 easy payments of $44.95, we will send you a glow-in-the-dark cross. And we promise that you will receive an amazing blessing and your life will be better, right? Making a promise. By the way, don't ever receive glow-in-the-dark crosses. They're just, you don't know what to do with them once you get them. But you know what I'm saying is that they're making promises that he shouldn't be making. He's making a promise that isn't his to make. The promises of God are in God's word. And you can stand on that. And that we need to truly understand that, and I'm not sure we do, that there are people out there, and sometimes they come into the body, sometimes they come into our Bible studies, sometimes they come into our lives, and they look legitimate, but they're not. They're not. I know people who have used all kinds of means of manipulation and of trying to build something that was theirs, but it was not of God. And sometimes justifying all kinds of things that they do. People who say things like, yeah, I do crack with a bunch of crackheads. But you know what? We have great God talks when we do that. Right? Or drinking, you can just change it, right? Yeah, I drink with all the drunks. But man, we talk about God. We get into some really neat things. And no one else is ministering to them. So I believe that God wants me to do that. Well, God never goes against his word. That is not true. Or I sleep with a bunch of prostitutes, but you know what? Nobody loves them, and I love them, and I talk to them, and I have a relationship with them. You know what? That's just not true. God never, hear me today, God never goes against his word. God's word is true. Or I cheat on my taxes. Someone told me this one day. I cheat on my taxes. I have no qualms about doing this because the government is corrupt. And besides, it gives me the opportunity to give more money to God. Uh-uh. It doesn't work that way. You can't make your own set of rules, right? And what I'm saying today, and I'm going to try to wind this up because we want to get to the Lord's table here, is we need to know the difference. And hear this. We need to know the difference. We need to understand the difference between HS and BS. HS is the Holy Spirit, and you know what BS is, right? You need to know the difference between the Holy Spirit and BS. And there's a lot of BS out there, and we need to be smarter, we need to be wiser, we need to be discerning. We do. We need each other for that. And I just want to end on this note that you know this. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. And that you, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't need me to tell you what the truth is. You don't need me to say, point out, well, this is true and this is false. And you don't need it because you have the Holy Spirit. So put that into action. Use it. You've got the Holy Spirit. You don't need some, go ahead, yeah. There's two things that we know for sure, and that is that truth is revealed to us through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth, right? So all the things I'm telling you right now, you know this stuff. It's in your heart. The Spirit is confirming it. And when you get a check in your spirit or you go, there's something wrong about this, there's something that just isn't sitting right, that very well is the Holy Spirit. You have access to the truth. You don't need to come to the truth through a reverend or through a priest. You just need to come to the truth through the Holy Spirit. And it's time that we did that better. It's time that we did that better. Because Satan masquerades like an angel of light. And it all looks good. It looks brilliant. He's Lucifer. It all looks and sounds pretty good, except for that one part that isn't good at all. And it leads us astray. Amen? All right, let's pray. So God, thank you for truth. We so want to be followers of your truth. I pray that we would have more of a hunger for your word so we would know what's authentic and what's genuine. And so we'll be able to tell very easily what is counterfeit. We pray that you would fill us and fill this body so with the Holy Spirit that there'll be no room for anything that is false, any false teaching, any false apostle, and any masquerading by the enemy. It'll be so self-evident that he will not even try to do that in this place. And that we will be discerning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, for your gift of discernment. You promise that you live inside of us. We don't just have you, you live in us. And because of that, we know what is true. We know that. So we are open to you today and just asking, Holy Spirit, that because of the Word of God and because of the power of the Spirit who lives in us, that we'll know. We will know, we'll be familiar with the words of the shepherd, we'll be familiar with his voice, and there will be no room for any false teaching and for us to be swayed or distracted from God, from your truth in any way. Thank you that we can come to your table right now. What a blessing. Thank you that you said, Jesus, that you are the way and the truth and the life. And we celebrate that. We want to come and be so glad that we can be joined together and we can be reminded that we are followers of no one else but Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Thank you that all that you required of us is that we repent and believe. Thank you for your amazing grace, and we receive it today. We're going to taste it. We're going to taste, and we're going to see that you are good. It's going to be sweet, and it's going to restore my soul, and I need that today, God. So restore our souls. We are hungry for you. We love you, and wow, just sense the power and sense your spirit in this place today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, Rob, if you want to sing a couple songs, and I'm going to ask Arlene and Chris and Ken and Frieda to come up. And as they're up, would you guys find a place in the circle? And let's celebrate and let's believe.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Sing that again.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore You. I will adore You, Lord, I adore You. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore You. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of Your name. Jesus, Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore You. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore You. I will adore You, Lord, I adore You. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy.
Amen. We're inviting our children back in because This is something we should do together. So don't be surprised or shocked or angry. We want them to be part of this. We want them to see that we celebrate this and we do it together. And they are welcome to join in as well, by the way, if you as parents choose that for them. We're grateful and always happy to be able to do this together. What does this mean? Before we eat, before we drink, I'm just going to open this up for a moment or two. What does this mean to you that we come to the Lord's table? Life more abundantly, sorry? This is what Jesus Christ did for us. That's right, Bobby. In remembrance. Do this in remembrance. Yeah, this is about love, right? I mean, think about that, if you don't mind if I just expand on that. He loved you so much. Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life. He died for you, and he suffered, you know, the immense pain of the cross so that you could live. All because of one thing. He loves Tristan. And he loves Stan. Amen? What does this mean? Yeah. The heart of it, right? Forgiveness. You know this today, that you can walk out of this place and you are clean. You are clean. You are righteous. God looks at you and he says, there is no sin that sticks to you because I have removed it all away. And that, my friends, is a really good thing. What else? What does this mean? Sorry? We're flawless. Yeah. Let's not forget the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Someone else? Have we got it nailed? You know what we're doing here? We're remembering and believing. Is anyone missing the bread? If you're missing the bread, we don't want you to be missing. Put your hand up or get your neighbor to give you half, whatever, right? This, Jesus said, the night he was betrayed, Jesus said, this is my body, and I give it for you. Take, eat, remember, and believe the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus also said that this is the cup of the new covenant. It is a symbol of his blood. It's a symbol of life. This is a symbol of life. So if you have been struggling with life lately, if you've been down, if it seems like you're running a half a quart short, this is life. This is true life. It's the blood of Jesus. And he said, I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you even more abundantly. So receive the abundant life that Jesus gives to you. He took the cup, and he passed it among his disciples. We're just waiting a sec here till everyone gets it. He took the cup. We'll just wait a second. We are going to eat the bread, yeah, yeah. And everybody, it depends on your mom and dad. That's up to your mom and dad. While we're doing that, let's just keep talking. You guys share a few things. What are we thankful for before we eat this? Let them catch up giving out the cups. How do we thank God for this? What do you say to him? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Pardon? Sing to him. Amen. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within him, let him bless his holy name. What do you say to Jesus? What? Love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. It's all about Jesus, right? Has everyone got the cup? Okay. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, Jesus said. Take and drink all of it. Remember and believe. Thank you, God. Amen. Len, it's good that you're here. You've come back, visit us for a bit. Would you lead us in a prayer? And if you stand close to me, we'll be able to hear it. Yeah, you have. It's part of the requirement.
Hallelujah. Let's join our hearts, and maybe even our hands.
Yeah.
Maybe even our hands. Touch somebody else. And let the blessing of God flow through you into somebody else. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you, even as we gather today in Jesus' name, to bring you honor and to bring you praise and to bring you our thanks, Lord, for having done what you do, what you did, and what you do for us every day again. Thank you, Lord, that you touched our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we don't believe you because we're so smart. We believe you because you gave us the gift of faith to believe in you. And we thank you, Lord, that it is only you. And we lay ourselves at your feet. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your Holy Spirit in our lives today on earth. We thank you, Lord, for one another. Bless us, Lord, as you have done in the past. Bless us in the future. Help us to believe your promises. And we do believe your promises, Father. We promise you that we will be faithful to your word. Together, individually, as families. We appreciate all that you do for us, and we receive your thanks and your blessing in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen. Let's sing, Rob. Thank you, Lord.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace.